yellow wall. All praise to the Most High, God of Israel, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Made it to another set. All praises to the Most High. Yasha Allah, Ahaya Alahaya Nawa, Ahaya Aka, Hero Israel, the Most High, our God is one. And we worship him in spirit and in truth. Our Abba which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And may thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All praise.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Welcome to The Awakening, brought to you by Blueprint for Life and the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I am V, the preacher, and indeed it's a pleasure to be with you every time we get to the Shabbat, a day of honor, worship, restfulness, peace, removing ourselves from the distraction of the world and everything they got going on to keep us from focusing on the Father, something we truly need to learn to do in this hour. It's of the utmost importance to have focus on the Father in this hour when everything around you is distracting you. Hence our lesson today. We have an excellent lesson for you. Talk about the machinations of men. And not only the machinations of men, we're going to talk about the machinations of the synagogue of Satan. But somebody's in panic mode right now. And we all know who that is. Somebody's panicking right now because they're running out of time. Because they see, just as much as you see, that the days are getting shorter and shorter and that the plagues come to pass. So, you know, this old demon, this devil, Satan, Hashatan, he'll try to mimic the plagues to throw you off and confuse you all the more. But the Bible said that we would be able to sense it and know that we're close to the time and that we should increase our opportunities to exhort and encourage one another during these times, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and getting our inventory in order. Our inventory in check, our warehouse, to see that we're doing the right thing. So we're going to exhort you today. We're going to have a two-part lesson. And in the first part of this lesson, when we discuss the machinations of men, we're going to get into this state of mind that this world is in, and the evilness and the wickedness that's coming towards the end. Israel, I got some news for you. The Most High said in the Bible, the scripture, he has not appointed us unto wrath. We're going through these curses right now. We've been walking them out in this final captivity for over 400 years. We're walking them out. We're trying to make sure we don't ever do nothing like this again, mess up, and find ourselves qualified to get into the kingdom. Not worthy, because none of us are worthy, but qualified. Based upon works, that's the second part of our lesson. We're going to do a treatise on the book of James, the first chapter, which is so telling and revealing. James, his Hebrew name being Yaakov, him being in the household of our Messiah, and some of the information that he put out there that totally goes against the narrative that the Christian church has spun about us not having to keep the commandments or to do works or the fact that we are Israel, all in the first chapter of James. So we will get to that. as well. I want to say something to you real quick. There's a lot of things I'm going to touch on in the coming days. You see, we're being this new world order and the mark of the beast and the beast system and the Antichrist is being rolled out in waves. And it seems like our people are accepting it piece by piece as we move into Jacob's trouble, deeper into Jacob's trouble. At the end of the day, at the precipice, there is a plethora of other nations that wants the nation of Israel wiped out, according to Psalms 83. They masqueraded and disguised themselves as the United Nations and NATO today. These people are jostling, warring for positions in what they think will be their new world order because they believe they're going to be successful in killing off Most High's creation that this world calls black and brown people, the indigenous. So they're jockeying and trying to get their positions. They feel like they're being successful. That's why they're getting upset at the awakening that they can't stop. But they're doing everything they possibly can to stop this spiritual, natural awakening. It's impossible. It's time for us as a people to not look for salvation from any other nation, government, policy, or election. That's over. Our habitation of justice, according to the word of Yah, is the Most High, Eyah, Ashar, Eyah, the great I Am. Some of you say Ahaya. He's the great I Am. He is our only habitation of justice and peace. He is your own. He is the only one that will be supplying reparations and giving you back status on this earth. With that being said, it's important that you make sure you know him and you build your relationship with him and you do inventory on your warehouse. It's not so important as you're taking all these classes to learn who's who in the earth, where the Ark of the Covenant is, who's God, who's May God. You know, at the end of the day, you'll know all these things. But will he know you? And your time here on the earth is for you to build up your relationship with him and have an assurance that he knows you and you know him because you don't want to fall prey to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where you will try and justify yourself and say what you thought happened through your life justified you. He'll say, but I never even knew you. We've heard that message preached many times. We know what the understanding is. But to have knowledge of the Savior for him to know you means that you would mean that you've spent intimate time with him. You have a working relationship with him. So I'm amazed at how our people idolize information now because they don't realize they're being pulled into a swamp. This is the information age, and there's a battle for information. And truth is, they're trying to douse out truth with lies and call lies truth. So this is an information age, and you could easily fall into that by trying to get more information to prove to people something they already know, that we're the people, and that history has lied to you your entire life. Actually, we've passed that stage. And now it's time for you, since you know who you are and who they are, to do something. Solomon said it best, that Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let's start with 12 and 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. Brothers and sisters, you're going to find all kind of books that have been hid from you for years, about how there was books out there of teaching Christianity and religion to the slaves, to compartmentalize them and divide them, because we never ascribe to the bondage of religion. There's many books out there about earth being round, earth being flat, what his true name is, what Let's listen to what Solomon is saying about the books. He said, of making many books, there is no end, and much studying is weariness of your flesh. So what you're doing through your idolatry of information is just wearing out your flesh, but not building your spirit. See, knowledge puffeth up. Shaul made that clear to you. Verse 13, Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And what he was referring to is the conclusion of the whole matter being your life cycle and your span of time here on earth. He said, this is the whole conclusion of what's the most important. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That one verse, this is what it's all about. I take that to your corrupt little dollar who says the commandments are done away with. And here you have the wisest man in the world that said your only job on this earth is to fear him and keep his commandments. For the Most High shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, that which you've done in the closets, in the dark, that you think nobody sees, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's bringing it all into judgment when you leave here. So your works will speak for you and also bring you to a place where he knows you. And as far as those that say it's not in the works and you don't have to do the works, that's the second part of our lesson today in James 1. You're going to understand that we must do the work. We'll get into that. So in the midst of you gathering information, make sure you're not worshiping and idolizing information, and that you find yourself back at 1 John 2 and 3, where we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Make sure you find yourself converted as Peter had to be converted. When Christ told Peter, Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you because Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And he told him, listen, go away. Once you convert it, come convert the brethren. So he had to get himself to a place of transcendence. That transcendence is spoken of in Psalms 19:7. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, and it converts the soul of a man and makes wise the simple. Only the commandments can do that. And then Solomon turns around and tells you, here's the whole duty of man. To fear the Most High is to have a reverential respect for him where you think twice before you do something. Be like, oh, man, he's watching. I can't do that to him. He's been good to me. Let me straighten up. My daddy, my Abba is present. He's been present your whole life, watching you commit all the sins you've committed, but you received grace to be where you are today. And this grace is for you to finish out well, not to repeat the past, because then you become the fruitless fig tree that will be cursed and destroyed because you're good for nothing. You can't produce fruit. You can't feed. You can't nurture. Why are you here? Because you don't respect me enough to abstain from sin and appreciate the grace and mercy I extended your way to extend your life and give you help. Why should I continue this? And we see that when Christ cursed the tree. Make sure you know him. As far as this thing being rolled out in layers, every decision you make right now is playing for keeps. It was innocent. You didn't realize the transition of time. You didn't realize. Well, I'll say this. You realize what you didn't want to realize because nobody wants to let go of the past. Time is playing tricks on you, and you're constantly chasing the past experiences, the past excitements, the past joys, things that you thought was joy in this world. Everybody said, I just want life to go back to normal as it was, where I could be a part of the illusion of the joy of this world. And you didn't even realize the paradigm shift that took place each time in our world, like 2000, 2008, 2012, and 2019. These paradigm shifts that transpired right in front of your face, and you knew something was different, but you ignored it and made decisions that were dangerous to your body, your temple, your life, and your spirituality that you couldn't reverse and that you can't reverse. Even with a lifestyle choice, or letting the world or the media or the news tell you that this lifestyle is okay, So you made a choice to go that route. Now you have an addiction or a connection to something that you can't break, but doesn't give you the peace that initially it gave you. It's called bondage and possession, oppression, because of a bad decision. Listen, what may not seem like it is, it literally is, but Satan knew that you expected it to come in one drop and roll out a certain way. So with his cunningness, he decided to roll it out into sections. For instance, graphene oxide, which is within your so-called emergency use authorization jab, graphene oxide is something that is a connecting factor to connect you to artificial intelligence and play an integral role in your transhumanism and being controlled, becoming something else. A lot of people are very concerned right now because not only have we seen the four horsemen being released, pestilence, famine, wars, death, but there's the seven bowls of wrath, and I'm going to read those to you. And they may not necessarily, this Bible's been tampered with by these other nations for years because it's a prophetic book, and it's spot on. So they needed to throw us off because most prophecies pertain to us in this remote generation. And because of the confusion and the misinformation, the way it was preached to us, we are confused in the last day, which is why we can't see it. Let me tell you something. Misinformation happens now on social media, television, and all these shows, these podcasts. But back then, they didn't have all those mediums. So they used radio and books and made sure that the speakers, whoever you would go listen to preach a word to you, or that they would put on TV, or the so-called motivational speakers, that their messages were controlled to give you the misinformation. And they knew one of the most powerful books that they had to alter and hide things from was the book that they gave you called the Bible. You don't even have enough sense to know that the Bible, that word, is an offshoot. If you look at the etymology of the word called bibliotheca, and bibliotheca was a Latin word which simply meant library and compilation of books. And these were nothing but a collection of scrolls that were chosen by the Council of Nicaea and Trent, and other books hidden. Matter of fact, in 66, that KJV Bible of 66 or 64, they altered it again in 76 and took out the Apocrypha, 14 books, and here's them. I'm at the place now where I do a lot of research on the Pseudepigrapha, hidden books, and the Apocrypha, and Book of Enoch to gather the information that's relevant to our present time so that I can have the real news. And that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, some of you worship that word Bible and don't know. It just means library. Someone else sticking with the Bible and this and all that. Stick with the library. Go get the whole library if you're going to do it. So Satan is rolling things out. And one of the most dangerous things at the part of his little jab is that graphene oxide, which is matter, dark matter, which is a way of connecting you to artificial intelligence that can be controlled by frequencies, radio waves, and can actually connect itself to your connect to your neurons and your brain. We won't go into everything else that's there. There's so much. I've done other shows on that, parasites, the hydrogel, and all that. But I wanted to talk about this infatuation that man has with graphene oxide, and it's because graphene, which is a 12-part carbon, it consists of 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. You're putting inside your body a substance that has 666 in it. 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6 electrons. And it's smaller than a neutron or a cell that goes into your body. And it's actually beginning to change the genetic makeup Father gave you and destroy your God-given immune system. And everybody rushed to get this thing put inside their body saying, this is not that. No. Like Peter said in the book of Joel said, this is that. Now, I'm not using it in context of how they said it when it's talking about the outpouring of the Spirit. I'm letting you know that this jab, this is that. And then when we begin to talk about these 7 bowls of wrath, I want to read these to you. Then we'll go into the machinations of men. Let me see where I have that at. We already talked about the four horsemen. We went over that. Now I want you to, I don't know if anyone's ever taught you about, I thought I had it here. Give me 1 second to pull it up. This is mentioned in the book of Revelations, I believe 11 or 12. But there are judgments that come to those who have taken the mark. Here we have it right here. Give me 1 second. The computer is moving slow. Let's go. Okay. Revelation 16, 12 through 16. Now, I'm going to say them first, second, third, and fourth, but I have enough sense to know that these aren't going to happen in this necessary order. The first bowl of wrath found in Revelation 16, 2, sores will afflict those who have accepted the mark of the beast. Starting to sound and be like monkeypox. The sea will turn to blood, and all sea creatures will die. This is being kept away from you in the news because there's many places where they're finding seas that have turned blood red. The biological makeup, chemistry makeup may not necessarily be real blood, but the water's turning blood red. That was one of the third, that's the third bowl too, the rivers turning into blood. Mankind being scorched by the heat and from the sun, blaspheming the Most High. And the beast seat of government being afflicted, the Euphrates is dried up for world armies to be able to march over it to go to Armageddon. It was already documented, I believe, some 6 or 7 years ago that the Euphrates is drying up. And the earth is utterly shaken. Massive earthquakes. Revelation 16 and 17. You got your trumpets, you got your bowls of wrath, you got your seals, and you got your horsemen of the apocalypse. And truly, we are in the time of the apocalypse. You don't want to believe it because you're constantly still being tempted to repeat, on repeat, your simple sins. Because you realize temptation is at the door. Temptation is stronger, and it's going to be at your back. And you will talk like this is not the time because you want to allot yourself extra time just in case you decide you want to fall and commit adultery, somebody, idolize something. Some of you haven't, you know, matured yet. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. When I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I pull away childish things. Some of you don't have the testicular fortitude, and I don't know why we wait until we're facing death's door, facing penitentiary, facing jail, lose a loved one to want to fall on our knees when we should carpe diem, seize the moment right now, and take control of my eternal destiny outside of the 70, 80, maybe 90 years that I get to have on this putrid earth that Satan is in control of. There's an eternity I have to face. Eternity's a long time. And that's why the Bible says your life is as a vapor, poof, puff, smoke. You was here yesterday, and then you're gone. And the way things are moving in society so fast now, well, you're gone, you're forgotten. Don't even talk about legacy. Tell me what you leave a legacy. Legacies are being destroyed every day now. Look at the statues coming down, buildings being burned. Your legacy can't keep up with the future of these machinations of men and what they have in store and what they're holding on to and what they're trying to bring about. They're trying to wipe out everything that you would call legacy and start a metaverse, cashless society, one world governance, and worship of Satan. What world was that from your past that you remember? Your legacy is only what you do for Christ will last and to store up treasures in heaven by doing the work. Machinations of men. Let's get into it. so I can get to James 1, we can get into that treatise. Machinations simply means it's a noun, the act of scheming or plotting. So we're looking at the machinations of society as well, because it's all over the world. It's to scheme or plot. And every day Satan is pulling his politicians, who are kings who've given over their body to fallen angels and deities, to demonic spirits, to guide them and control them in the destruction of the creation of the Most High. Scheming and plotting. Crafty schemes, cunning designs for the accomplishment of a sinister end. They want to exit this world. If they can't destroy it, they want to see if they can exit it and go into a space shuttle, another dimension, open up another matter, another portal, because they know the hell that's coming for them with their false Christianity, the worship of their false gods, and the demonizing and attempts to destroy the children of the Most High. It's the act of machinating or of contriving a scheme for executing some purpose, particularly a forbidden or evil purpose. Underhanded, plotting, contrivance. This is how the whole world is living, you ask me right now. We are dealing with the machinations of men on a daily basis. People that are in your face that hate you and know you and know that they're going to have to pay a price for the sins of their forefathers. It's over with, but you're trying to prove to these people who we are. They know. They've been knowing. They're just waiting for you to wake up and find out, because they knew that's when their end was nigh. This is the awakening. Let's take a look at something. Let's go to the book of Romans to better explore the machinations of men. Let's see where I want to start from. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and start the 21st verse. Because that when they knew the Most High, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is the state of mind of the majority of your people, who began to want to destroy God's people because they turned their back on God. They don't worship him. Ungrateful. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is your tech society and your technocrats today. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Worshipping everything but the one true God, brothers and sisters. Verse 24, wherefore God has also gave them up. Don't skip by those five words. Don't skip by that. God gave them up to what they wanted to become as they didn't thank him and begin to worship other things. Now, worship of other things is idolatry. And idolatry can be anything that you deem yourself having to have in this life. Money, sex on a weekly, daily basis, to be a homosexual, whether a male or female homosexual, because now that's a status symbol. And it's like you're not successful unless that's a part of your life. Most of your wealthy people are in gay relationships and marriages. They want what's not theirs. They wanted the object of marriage. When they finally got it, we start acting like them and put them in the forefront and said, that's marriage. Now we don't get married. We'd rather have two, three, four wives while they're marrying each other, marrying and divorcing, as the Bible said they would do. It said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. This lifestyle is unclean, and I'm going to let you have at it. This, brothers and sisters, is why back in the late 2000s, we saw Christianity trying to accept homosexuality and lesbianism within the confines of the church, because there was so much sin in the church Everybody was like, how you point the finger at me when you're living in sin too? So they begin to justify it and say it's all right. And you had many of the homosexuals that were telling you, I have a relationship with God. I don't care what you say. There's no conviction or condemnation because that gay person that was in church blaspheming God because the idolatry he had for a butt, he put that over God. So God said, I'm going to let you be comfortable with it. So he's under the impression that his lifestyle is okay with God. But he doesn't know that God has given him up to his uncleanness. Like, you can have at it. And so his mind has become reprobate. Let's read more. We'll see that. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to do what? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So I'm giving you up to uncleanness to where you will be stuck in a habitual cycle of fornication and lust. Those are demons, people. They have the deed of your property. And you run around trying to mentally and spiritually justify what you've been turned over to, which is demonic possession of that lifestyle that this world is telling you is okay with their alphabet soup month that they're giving you this month, which they'll soon turn into a year and make you believe through the media that they are the predominant group in society, that there's so many of them that we just have to, if you can't beat them, join them. Devil is lying. You still need to pray against all these parades that are getting ready to happen this month and ask God to dig ditches, tear it down, rebuke it in the name of Yeshua, because there's many kids during that time of month that get turned out into this lifestyle because the demons get turned over to these demons. First, they open up the portal through drug use. Then they get exposed to it. And innocence is gone. Just like in the garden. We know it wasn't an apple. And I'm not going to teach that right now. That's a big lesson. But what normally happens when they say someone has stolen a child's innocence? You know, a child will walk around butt naked and not know, see a problem with it until it finds out about that innocence. We'll go into that another time in the pseudepigraphy, maybe next week. Let's continue reading Romans, the first chapter. He gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, because God don't tempt nobody. We're drawn and enticed by our own lust, and we dishonor our own bodies. It's a dishonor to do that to yourself, because you weren't created to go that way. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So he, in reference to the creature, we begin to worship man, his philosophies, his ideologies, and his preaching through the pulpit to justify my lifestyle. Because we saw many churches begin to embrace it, install pastors who were this way. We had gay pastors who had first men, not first women, first wives, first ladies. We started to justify this sinful act of reprobacy in the church house. We allowed it. We changed the truth of God into a lie. My father's pissed. I want you to know that. And we worship and serve man more than God, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's read the rest of this first chapter. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we, the women, I think they stayed in the closet a little bit longer than men, but now they're definitely out. But the thing is that it's a vile affection. You talk about the story of Lot and how insistent those gay men were to have sex with those two angels. They said, these are two men we have not had in this city yet. Let us have them. And they did not even want the virgins, the daughters of Lot. They were like, obsessed with tainting. See, because there's a violent act. That's why it's vile. There's a violent act that goes along with being a sodomite, because you know you're taking something, especially when they take, it's like these men in this lifestyle enjoy the opportunity to break somebody into this lifestyle because they're passing on a demonic spirit. It's a spirit inside of them that wants to jump into someone else. and it's like building up in society. Oh, there's so much I can say with that. I don't want to go too far off, but believe it or not, with the connectivity of these graphene oxides and the connection of people's minds that can be controlled by artificial intelligence, you have a hive mindset. You have one community. They're trying to get the weakened, the sheep, to be in one mind. They will have to hack elections, have Republican, Democrat. They're trying to kill that off and control everybody through artificial intelligence, which is Satan's emulation of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And he'll never be successful. And there's nothing new under the sun. Go to verse 27. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. This is natural. Listen, brothers and sisters, the further we go on in this life, I don't know how much time we have on this earth, but this is what they call hate speech, which is why they're going to try and remove what we call the Bible, these holy scriptures, from use, because they're going to try and say this is hate speech because they've changed what God calls natural. The men leaving the natural use. Now they don't even want you classifying genders so they can try and destroy all of this. This is a dangerous time we're living in, but I'm working on, like Solomon said, fearing the Most High, which should keep you from making a foolish mistake based upon your lust, and keeping these commandments and doing the work. Because when he does crack the firmament, you do want to be found in good standing, not doing something you shouldn't be doing, thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking, contemplating, or walking in anger. Let's finish 27. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. They don't like this stuff. It's pointing, telling the truth. And receiving in themselves. This is very graphic right here. This is triple X. They're receiving inside themselves the recompense of their mistake, their error, which was meat. Broke that down before. I'll go ahead and give it to you again. Give me one second. Let's go to the blue letter, or let's go to or even Strong's, so you can get better understanding. So it's not like you don't understand what that means. It says, where I ought to be tried, where me it beholds judged, receiving in themselves judgment. It behooves that properly. What must happen, which occurs, Strong's 1163, DEI. Give me one second. It didn't say it was M-E-A-T. It said it was M-E-E-T. Must go into. Must go. It is of him that is necessary for him to obsess with placing one's own seed into something. Behooved you. The recompense of their error, which was meat. Let's keep reading. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, do you hear this? They only want to retain God in their knowledge. They're creating another philosophy and religious perspective for themselves, which is where they consider, well, I'll just keep reading. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is what you're dealing with the machinations of men. And this gay lifestyle and everything that's happening, and these people that hate you, their minds are gone. They're turned over to a reprobate to do those things which are not convenient, being a lesbian, being a homosexual. We got to stop supporting these things and saying it's okay, it's not okay. We're not here to make these people feel good about their reprobateness. I'm sorry. I'll love you and treat you with the respect and follow peace with all men, but I'm not siding with the sickness of you turning your back on God, forcing him to turn you over to your vile affection, your violently vile affection. sad thing, people, is that we don't get to see the percentages of how many of these people commit suicide and go from relationship to relationship and the amount of diseases they pick up. There's just another community of people that have to be on this medicine that they have, this commercial Biktarvy backup medicine to cover them in the midst of their sin, to let them know that man's got another solution for you to keep on sinning. Keep on sinning. Don't worry. Let man and science take care of you, because we know it's going to make you sick. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, everybody who's committing this act, the gay pastors, the gay choir director, and choir members, all that stuff, and the politicians, the ones who are successful, you're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, you're filled with wickedness. These are all demons that you have. You have covetousness, you always want. You're malicious, you're evil, full of envy. You're always jealous of the next one. You want to kill. You always want to debate. You're deceitful. Malignity, you're always whispering and backbiting, talking about folks gossiping. Who's the key? Who does all the gossip shows you see on TV? Haters of God, verse 30. Haters of God, verse 30. Haters of God, don't get it twisted. This is why you see the machinations of man. These people are turned over to demons. When you walk around in a society filled with these people, you are walking by demon spirits all day. And these people can sense you if you're walking with the Ruach and keeping the Shabbat. They can sense who you are, who you know. Don't compromise. These people are without understanding, which is why back in 1973 it was classified as mental illness. Anything that has to do with that is a way of hiding the fact that there's demonic possession. Without natural affection, it's not natural. This is hate speech for them. This is love speech. Implacable. They're unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God? You know, this is why you don't argue with people like this. Because what's killing them in the back of their minds, when they come up listening and they go drive and sit by the water, they know they're wrong. Which is knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So here is another key component of the machinations of men and why men are so busy scheming and plotting, because they want to feel justified in their demonic actions, their vile affections, and their perverted way of life to bring about a whole nother world. And they're like, okay, if this is a part of the whole other world, me becoming transhuman, a cyborg, linking up with the machine, playing inside the metaverse, having sex with whomever I choose to because you only live once, these machinations of destroying your body and your soul, those who want to see society destroyed, those who want to see depopulation, those who want less people on the earth, those who want black and brown people, the indigenous, the creation of the Most High, wiped off the face of the earth, those who are white supremacists, those from Asia who support white supremacy, that assist them in getting rid of us. Wink, wink. At the end of the day, people, you're hated, Israel. You better hold on to the love of the Most High and hold on to these commandments so that they can be a fence all around you. Your only deliverance will come when the Most High comes back, because he's sure enough destroying Babylon, and the phase has already started. Apocalypse, tribulation, Jacob's trouble, whatever you want to call it, we're deep in it. By the time you recognize it and will admit it, we'll be too far gone into this. Will there be no turning back? Pray for those who are of your people that do the will of your Father. And these ones that are trying to destroy you, you pray these imprecatory prayers that David prayed in the books of the Psalms that the psalmist wrote. Because it's time for judgment to come their way. You can escape the wrath. You can make it through the fire if you become a commandment keeper. And we're going to get into the book of James when we return. Babylon is falling. James. Go there with me. James was the oldest brother of Yeshua. The oldest brother of Yeshua. Book was written about AD 62. James was there and watched the ascension. When I say Yeshua, which means salvation and savior, I'm talking about whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. Not using that word today. Too often when you say Jesus, you immediately think of that hippie with the blue recessive eyes, recessive genes, and the stringy hair and blue eyes. No, I don't know who that is. Yeah, I do. That's Cesar Borgia, that image. So Yeshua, his brother James, wrote this in AD 62 and saw the ascension of Christ as he went up. A lot of you don't read your Bible and don't understand that after Christ rose from the dead, he walked around for days with 500 people he brought back from the dead. Well, there were 500 people that saw him, and they watched him ascend. Now, I'm saying all that so that I can preface and qualify the first verse of the first chapter, where it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Yeshua Christ. This is to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad. Here is a man writing in 62 AD, right before his martyrdom, who's writing this letter to the scattered tribes. All y'all want to do is discredit the children of Israel and talk about certain things Paul said, but not even realizing Paul gave credit after Christ rose and saying, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm an Israelite, I'm one of them too. It's just funny how when we got down through church ages after Constantine that everybody forgot that after Christ had risen, we were acknowledging the lost tribes and still writing letters to them to encourage them. It's just amazing that people don't have common sense when it comes to reading these books. But let's not forget, the word Bible comes from bibliotheca, the Latin word, which means library, compilation, scrolls, because there were no books then. James is acknowledging. He said, to the 12 tribes, which were all over the world, outside of the Palestinian area. They were outside of Jerusalem, Israel. Now, I want to get into this treatise real quick on James' first chapter. I'm not going to be long. You'll see as I highlight certain precepts, especially about the works and information, because this is my time now to exhort you, my people, the Israelites, and what we should be doing, and to negate these naysayers and these foolish Edomite Christian apologists who write these commentaries that will throw you off, that will negate, get rid of the commandments, tell you you ain't got to do nothing but walk by faith, which means live any kind of way. They're pretty much telling you you can be of the world. Be of the world. You got grace and mercy. Don't worry about what anybody says. And eat what you want. Do what you want. Just show up on Sunday and pay your tithes and have faith and believe in him. that he rose and died and lived any kind of way. Let's deal with that now. Second verse, my brother, this is really good. One of my favorites. Count it all joy whenever you fall into temptation. This is something that you need right now in your life, because if something glances by your mind, you need to rejoice and say, I'm still being attacked. I'm worth it. Count it all joy. Why did he say that? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, we read last week, what is the patience of the saints? Patience is the commandments, the keeping of the commandments while you wait. So if this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please. Yeah. Without it, you can't even please him. Most people didn't have faith that he would see them through this pandemic. So they rushed to man's solution because they had no faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word, not man's words, not false prophecies. So know this, that if you're tempted, knowing this, I have faith that he'll see me through. So I'm counting the joy. This is working my patience. You're working my keeping of the commandments. So I'm strengthening myself in the process. So 4 said, let patience, your keeping of the commandments, have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. That was so packed. Let me see if I can unpack it for you. I can be perfect and entire. I can be complete. Nobody's perfect. That's what they told you in the hood, and that was a lie from the pit of hell, because your perfection is in your daily processing of keeping the commandments. So let's read it again real slow so you get it. But let patience, here's the patience of the saints, the keeping of the commandments. Let the keeping of the commandments, keeping the Sabbath, the holy days, have its perfect work. Continue in other words. How? Why? Because in doing so, in your continuance and being consistent, you become perfect. That you may be perfect is what it says. Continue in the faith so that you might be perfect and entire. And in the process, you won't want anything. There's a lot of you right now that want all kinds of stuff. It's because your desires have not become his desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but that's after your heart has been circumcised. And then you want what he wants for you. Then you want the right things and you receive them. Now let's move on. I explained that as good as I need to. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That should be your prayer, Hebrew. Father, give me more wisdom in these last days. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you want it, don't change your mind. Don't vacillate. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Everything you do, you're going to be unstable because you keep vacillating and changing your mind. This is why the scripture says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. When you make up your mind before you articulate it, your mind should be made up. Someone who changes their mind is double-minded. Double-minded, to me, denotes schizophrenia. There's two people fighting for control of your body. If there's two minds, some once being controlled by something. So if you ask for wisdom, if you're going to pray for something, know that it's done. And don't keep begging with a degree of faith. You ask by faith, and you praise him for it after you ask every day, because you know it will be done if you're keeping his commandments. But you don't change your mind, vacillate, and say, I think I want this. I don't want this. I won't. What is wrong with you? Verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low. Well, verse 9, I skipped that. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away, the rich man. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So you have to overcome your temptations. But let's see where they come from. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He didn't send these things your way or allow these things to come your way. But verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You're still lusting for that. It's not, it has not been exercised out of your heart. It should be something to let you know that I got some more work to do, some more fasting to do. And I got to know that that is that demon trying to come back with eight more of his partners and enter in. You've got to say, he that the Son sets free is free indeed, and know that your thoughts are not of your own, especially in this hour of frequencies and technology and EMF waves and direct energy weapons and voice-to-skull technology. You need to take control of your mind and not be double-minded and stand fast on this work. Verse 15, see, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. So if you think about it so long to the point where you be like, I got to have it, and it conceives inside you, you're like, I'm going to do this. I've heard people say, God, forgive me, before they even commit it, because they've already made up in their minds that's what they're going to do. But this brings death. Not only does it separate you from God, but this will take you straight to hell. This will destroy your soul. You want to know more about that, go to the book of Reuben in the 12 patriarchs and look at how he breaks it down. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's going on to say that you need to know that everything that's good and that's perfect, this is from above, including you and your choices that you make to follow him. Now let's get into verse 19. Be doers of the word. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Don't get angry too quick. Learn how to just be quiet. Don't always have something to say. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So being angry is not a sin, but staying in anger and being in constant anger is not within the righteousness of God. That wrath denotes something completely different that will consume you, take you over and lead you into sin, to where it will lead to murder. It will lead to something that you'll want to regret. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Now, we just read about filthiness in Romans, the first chapter. You could be turned over to that. We got to get away from that. And we will talk this as a society, to think filthy. There's so much lust behind our music, our movies, our dress, our people. This is why he's saying, please put it to the side. Superfluity of naughtiness, like you doing too much, and that is us. Turn up, superfluity, excessive of naughtiness. You know what that means. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. Only the word can help you to overcome this insatiableness for worldliness that's on the inside of our people underneath the curses of Deuteronomy 28. But the key verse I love right here is verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because many people go to church on Sundays to hear a sermon or a motivational speech. Nobody's doing the work. What is the, let me give you a precept for that. Let's go to Revelation 22:14. Revelations 22:14, it says, blessed are they that do his commandments. It didn't say that listen, that hear, and give a good offering because it made them feel good. It said, blessed are they that do his commandments, stop eating pork, keeping the Sabbath, keeping Passover, you know, the big 10 commandments. Why? that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the through the gates of the city. It's one of my favorite scriptures because it's right there saying, this is your ticket into the kingdom, keeping the commandments and doing them. And this is what will give you eternal life, doing the commandments, the tree of life that we'll eat from to sustain our lives. Doing the commandments is the key to receiving that. James, the brother of Yeshua, is letting you know right here in 22, be doers of the word, the commandments, and not hearers only. Don't be like the apologists, giving you apologetics and commentaries on saying the work's already been done, Christ paid it all, you don't have to do nothing but receive it. No, you need to do the work. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his own way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this is the one that's blessed, the one that begins to do the work. And we're going to get into the works. James gets into it a little bit further down. But what I want to say, that law of liberty, Paul said it best, Apostle Shaul. That I would do, I did. But he also said, let me see if I can paraphrase it. I need to find it. I'm trying to paraphrase it. Paul knew that he had the freedom to do whatever he wanted to do. But he said, that I can do, I do not. He's like saying, listen, I know that it's not a sin, but I choose not to do certain things to keep me from sinning. In other words, I'm free to do a lot of things. But we know where to draw the line. It's that perfect law of freedom, because what the spirit of the Lord is, the Ruach, there is liberty. But we could take that liberty out of control. This is what happened in Romans, the first chapter. That liberty out of control leads to excessiveness, naughtiness, filthiness, because you get too lax. And that's what you can't allow the law of liberty to relax to, where you don't do the work. Because you say, I'm free, and all I have to do is be a hearer, not a doer. Let's finish this out, and you'll understand better. He being not a forgetful hearer, I'm in verse 25, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. This is where your blessings come from, by doing the work, people. And let me say this before I go to 26. The works that you do should be like Matthew's the sixth chapter. You don't grandstand and shout it out from a bullhorn and tell everybody. It's done in secret. It's blessing the widows, blessing the homeless, feeding the sick, giving away clothes. This is what you can do every day without anybody knowing. But know that the Most High sees and he's watching. You got clothes in your closet, go give them away. Go give them to our people. Bless our people first. Start with Israel. Don't go to no other nation. If these nations looking after their own, and we have a responsibility according to the word to start with our people and our community first. And then if we feel led or the Most High leads us that way, we have blessed the other people. Because like the Syrophoenician woman said, even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But we're going to look out for our people first, because they need to know they're under the curses and be told to come back to our God. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, which the majority of our people are, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, your religion is in vain. You're out of control. And this is what I love, because verse 27 says, let me tell you what pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is. It's this, to visit the fatherless. This is the work. This is what James said. If you're going to have religion, let this be your religion, because we don't believe in religion. We don't ascribe to it. Isaiah 14th chapter, Satan helped to build up all these various religions, which he's bringing together to start a worship of him and one world religion now. But James is saying it best. He said, like, if you're going to have religion, let your religion be this. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, the sick and shut in, and keep yourself unspotted from this world. James knew we can't be a part of this world because his brother taught it. Can't be affected this world. And our job every day is to take care of those who are less fortunate with what we have. And not be, see, the lesson in not having to do works is teaching you to be selfish and keep everything God blesses you with for yourself while you sit in the house watching TV, wanting more stuff that you see on TV. You're worldly. You're scarcely going to make it in. Barely these type of people will make it in. That's worldliness. He blesses you to bless other people. So let's not forget to do the work. And if you're going to be religious, let that be your religion. But the patience and the commandments, that's what is so necessary. So let us, my brothers and sisters, while all this distraction that I touched on a little bit today is going on around us, and while men are plotting for our destruction, we don't live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not worried. I need you to get to the point to where you're like, there's nothing I can do about these machinations of men and the machinations of the synagogue of Satan. From what I've read, the synagogue of Satan, according to Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, are going to bow down at our feet and acknowledge that we are the sons of the Most High. Eya Ashar Eya, great I am. If I believe everything I've read and I keep myself spotless and I remain patient, vigilant, and keep doing the work, all I got to do is wait for my Savior to come. If he don't come, then I should get out of here before he comes, and we know we're going to a quiet place, resting place, until the consummation of times has happened. And we want to make sure that our works precede us in the kingdom. That's one way we know that he knows us, because we got stuff stored up there. That's like having your stuff in a storage center, and you get to the front desk, they already have a record that you got stuff here in this place. So when you're doing these works, you're putting stuff up in a sacred, a high place. You're storing up your treasures in heaven. Let's remember that as we encourage each other, as we have opted to do in the midst of this tribulation period, to encourage Israel to keep moving. Let me say this before I always say what I say. Paul said it best. I don't think I'm all that. I don't think I got it going on. I don't care what I did in the past. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark to obtain the prize of the high calling in Yeshua Christ. There are so many key components there. I don't think I'm all that, and I'm going to forget about what's behind me. That would be your accomplishments, not just your failures. Keep pushing. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Love you, Israel. Hang in there. We will get through this. Ignore the machinations of men and his wicked devices. The second Ezra 13 tells us that when Yeshua returns, he's going to destroy all of their wicked inventions. Kwam Yasha out. Shabbat Shalom.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes. You've been building your kingdom. Oh, Lord.
All over this land.
That's all right. Preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
You better watch out now.
Straight up.